All right, it is so good to see everybody today, although I cannot actually see you when I don't have my glasses on. And I'll look forward. We're going to go back in a couple of weeks, see if I can get back in my contact lenses. But I want to praise God for this message today, the power and the wonder of answered prayer. And we're going to start out in John 14, and we're going to grab hold of these truths. You know, I just want to praise Jesus. He wants to give me what I'm asking for. The Lord Jesus Christ wants to answer my prayer. He delights in giving me the things that I need for my life. And He delights in giving these things to our loved ones as we pray. So let's go to the Scripture. John 14, verse 13. Whatsoever you shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you shall ask anything in my name, I will do it. Now go to 1 John chapter 5 quickly, and you're coming back to John 14. Written by the same man, the Apostle John. First John chapter 5, verse 14. And this is the confidence that we have in Him, that if we ask anything according to His will, He hears us. And if we know that He hears us, whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we desired of Him. We have this confidence that if we ask anything according to His will, He will give it to us. So go back to John 14 and then we'll begin. Lord Jesus, as I come today, I ask again for forgiveness of daily sin, that I confess to you out loud in my prayer closet, specific, because your word said if we confess our sin, you are faithful and just to forgive us our sin and cleanse us of all unrighteousness, and the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us of all sin. That's 1 John 2, Lord. Also, 1 John chapter 1. So we thank you, Lord Jesus, for the forgiveness of sin. And Father, I pray for a filling of your Holy Spirit and an anointing of your Holy Spirit to share your truth, to wash the feet of those that are here in this room and those that are listening on the internet. Father, let me be a servant, sharing with them your bread of life, your truths. And so, Father, we ask that your Holy Spirit, the perfect teacher, will speak to our hearts personally as we look at your word. Father, we thank you. Holy Spirit, lead us now. Let everyone in this place know that you love them, that you have a plan for their lives, a purpose, and there are certain things that we are praying about that you want to give us the answer. You want to send us the deliverance. You want to work your power in these situations that we're praying about. Get us through this door. Get us to it and through it, Lord Jesus. Amen. All right, John chapter 14, verse 13. Whatsoever you shall ask in my name, I will do it, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you shall ask anything in my name, I will do it. I want to give you 2 points right now. Number one, God desires, God delights in answering our prayers. I will do it. He loves to do it. You ever ask somebody to do something and then you say, oh, I'm sorry I asked you to do that. You don't need, oh, I want to do it. I'd love to do it. I would love to do you a favor. It's not going to go out of my way. I can do that. I want you to understand, my friend, exponentially more, perfectly more, the Lord Jesus is saying that to you today. When you say, Lord Jesus, I need you to do this, He's saying to you, I would love to do that. I want to do that. The Lord says, anything you ask in my name, I will do it.
John said again, anything you ask in the will of God, he will do it. So number one, God wants to answer my prayer. Number two, our goal is that our request unto God line up
with God's character, God's purpose, God's plan, and God's will for our lives.
I'm going to give you a third point a little later on. But I want you to understand that as you're making requests unto God, God's trying to mold your request into the request that will honor His plan for your life.
So you may be praying for a certain job that God doesn't want you to have. But the Lord wants you to ask Him what it is you think you need.
He's going to meet you right there. Now I want you to understand that answered prayer in the life of a Christian is the vitality, it's the lifeblood, it's the foundation, it is the evidence that I'm having a divine interaction with the Lord. And that's why Paul tells us, make your request about all things. Because the Lord Jesus Christ wants to be that involved in our lives.
If every hair on my head is numbered,
then there's nothing wrong with me getting in the car today as I leave this place and saying, Lord Jesus, protect us as we travel home. Lord Jesus, take care of this vehicle as we travel home. There's no reason for when I rise in the morning, I don't stop and say, thank you, Lord Jesus, I got the help to get to work today. I want to praise your holy name, Lord Jesus. Father, take care of this little situation at work. This is going on. I'm asking you to take care of that. We are to pray about these things. We are to recognize the answers of God. In everything, let your requests be made known unto God. And you might say, well, Brother Leo, I've just never gone that far. I don't think you need to bother God. That's a lie. The devil sold you that lie. And the reason you aren't going to God is because you're one of these independent people that in certain areas of your life, you figured it out and you can handle this. And you can handle that.
I want you to understand something, my friend. Jesus says it. I'm not going to debate it. If Paul, who walked a whole lot closer to Jesus than I did, if Paul, who had a whole lot more experiences with God than I did, if he's telling me in everything, let my request be made known unto God, that's good enough for me. And I'm not going to get in this pulpit without praying. I'm going to try not to drive my vehicle without praying.
I'm certainly not going to try to raise my child without praying. I'm certainly not going to try to influence my grandchildren without praying. So in every area of your life, we are to seek the wisdom and the power of God. So I want you to grab this. God delights in answering your prayer. Yes. And I'm going to take it to another level here in a moment. God delights in answering your prayer. And number two, God wants my request to line up with His will for my life.
So He's got to work out. He works these things out in my prayer life.
Now, go with me to Matthew 21. The book of James tells us we have not because we ask not. And when we ask amiss, to consume what we're asking on selfish motives. That's going to be studied next week, but we want the Lord to work these things out in our lives. Matthew chapter 21, verse 20 says this, and when the disciples saw it, they marveled, talking about the fig tree withering away. And in verse 21, Jesus answered and said unto them, verily I say unto you, if you have faith and doubt not, you shall not only do this which is done to the fig tree, but also if you shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed, and be it cast into the sea, it shall be done. And all things whatsoever you shall ask in prayer, believing and expecting, you shall receive. Now, go ahead and write it down. Believing and expecting. And go with me to Mark chapter 11. Mark chapter 11. Mark chapter 11. Let me tell you why God doesn't answer a whole lot, some prayers. Mark chapter 11, verse 24 says this. Same connotation here. He says, therefore I say unto you, what things soever you desire when you pray, believe that you are going to receive them and you shall have them. Number one, God desires to answer my prayer. Number two, I need my prayers to line up with the will of God and His purpose for my life. And number three, when I'm asking God for something, I need to be expecting Him to give me what I'm asking for. Billy Graham believes 80% of the prayers in American religion go up every day with no expectation of receiving an answer. And I want you to understand today, my dear friend, that if I ask Lehman to go to the store and pick me up a loaf of bread because I can't make it, maybe it's my health, or maybe we don't have a vehicle or something's wrong, and I call Lehman and I say, Lehman, I want you to go to the store and get us a loaf of bread. We have no bread in the house. And then Patty walks in and says, what did you do? And I said, well, I just asked Lehman to go to the store and get us a loaf of bread. She goes, good. I said, well, I doubt it's going to happen. What do you mean you doubt it's going to happen? Well, you know, I asked him, but I'm not expecting him to do it. She'd say, Leo, that makes no sense at all. Did Lehman say he was going to do it? I'd say, yeah. Does he have the ability to do it? Yeah. Does Lehman love you? Yeah. Well, then I imagine he's going to go to the store and get the bread. Oh, no, I just ask him because it's a good thing to do. I just ask him because it's a habit. I just ask him because I was taught in Sunday school, good people ask good people to do stuff. But I do not expect him to go to the store and get that bread. And my friend, you might think this is a ludicrous example, but how many prayers have you prayed in that same vein? We just throw a prayer up. Lord, just help me today. Lord, get me through today. And the prayer has no sooner left our lips nor our heart than we've forgotten what we asked and we go about in our own power. If you just pray three things all week, I'm asking you to pray three things that you mean, three things that you want an answer to, three things that you can get serious with God about. Because the one thing going on in Christianity in America, there is not a focus of seriousness. Go with me to Jeremiah chapter 29. Jeremiah chapter 29. And I want to give you this acid test. And you're familiar with this scripture. Children of Israel, God's revealing to them that in 70 years they're going to be released. He's giving them an answer. They're crying out to God, when are we going to get out of this bondage that we brought on ourselves by being disobedient to you? And in Jeremiah 29, verse 11, the Lord says this to Israel, and I'm saying He says this to me and He says it to you. For I know the thoughts and the plans that I think toward you, saith the Lord. They are thoughts and plans that will result with peace in your life and not of evil. And I have an expected end and conclusion for the course that I want you to run in your life. Then shall you call upon me, and you shall go and pray unto me, and I will hearken unto you, and you shall seek me and find me, when you shall search for me with all your heart, and I will be found of you, saith the Lord, and I will turn away your captivity and deliver you. What are those elements in those verses? Well, first of all, I want you to think about three things that you can pray about with all of your heart and all of your focus. Three things that you really need. Maybe in your life, maybe in the life of a loved one. But something you can get focused on and energized on, where you're saying, Lord Jesus, I need you to do this. And you keep praying it. And you keep asking. And as you ask, be still. Now, is God going to change your prayer? Maybe. He may mold it in another little direction. He may keep your prayer right where it needs to be. But pray expecting Him to answer it. Pray wanting Him to answer. There are a lot of people that pray, Lord, change me, but they don't want to change. There are a lot of people that pray, Lord, put forgiveness in my heart, but they don't want to forgive. My friend, God is only going to answer the prayers that you're serious about with Jesus. God is only going to answer the prayers that line up with the character of Jesus.
If you're asking God to give you the spirit of forgiveness, you better be willing and wanting to forgive. Say, Brother Little, that's not easy. It's the easiest thing in the world. Because I believe in the Scripture that if I don't believe forgive others, I'm not going to get forgiveness of God. And I need more forgiveness than all of them. All of them. We've got to realize that God means what He says. If you don't forgive others, I'm not going to forgive you. That frightens me. That gives me motivation to forgive everybody. I shared with someone, if I walked in just now, about a situation, and they told me something, I said, I can honestly say, even if there's people in my life that I don't like, I have no desire to be mean to them. I'm sure not going to be mean to people I love, or to people I'm neutral about. So, we are to pray with our whole heart, with our focus. Little Brantley, who we're praying for right now. I'm seeing him little because I saw him little at one time. But Brantley, we're praying for right now. I think I can put my heart and my soul in that prayer for Brantley and for his family. Because his family supported mine in a major way. So many people would send us stuff and encourage us through situations we face in our life. So I can put my heart and soul behind that. I mean, my son's not going through this thing physically that he's going through and his parents are going through. Well, Brother Little, that prayer list was so long. Well, if you're not disciplined enough, you haven't been saved long enough, you've not grown long enough, I've got other things to do. Jesus Christ lives at the right hand of God, and all He's doing is interceding. But if you're not at that place yet, please pick out three people you've heard about today and pray for them with all your heart this week. Yes. Goodness!
The Lord desires to answer our prayers. It's as simple as Luke 18. Go there with me. Brother Leo, I just don't have the time. You're sleeping too much. I'm serious.
If you get up at 6, get up at 5:30. What about the end of the day? Patty and I were talking. Patty and I are always discussing child rearing. And I asked her the other day, I said, did you have a bedtime? She said, well, I sure did. I can remember in the 7th and 8th grade, I had to be in bed at 9 o'clock. In elementary school, I was in bed at 8 o'clock. And then it went to 8:30 at some point. And then in middle school, I was in bed at 9 o'clock. I have parents tell me all the time, we don't have time in the evening. We don't have time in the morning. No, we don't have discipline in the home. That's what the problem is. Isaiah said it. In the end times, the children would rule the home. So, these little babies and these young people, they're not getting enough sleep because mom and dad don't have the sense to give them instruction. So Patty's talking about the high school, and she goes, first block, all these kids are half asleep. I said, Patty, they have no discipline. They have no structure. We're living in a culture of America. There's no discipline. There's no structure. There's no respect for authority. We've got presidents that stand up and defend the thugs and the criminals and condemn the policemen. Knowledge is turned backwards in the street. They cry out for equity. I read Isaiah 59 Wednesday night. And I said, if I can hear a political candidate stand up and read Isaiah 59 and say, this is what's wrong in America, that's who I'm voting for.
No one stands for justice. No one stands for the truth. So we have got to pray and ask God. And it's as simple as this. Luke 18, verse 40 says this.
And Jesus stood and commanded the blind man to be brought unto him. And when he was come near, he asked him, "What is it that I shall do for you?" And the blind man said, "Lord, that I might receive my sight." And Jesus said unto him, "Receive your sight. Your faith hath made you whole."
I gave you that verse last week. Three things
go along with that verse. Number one, it's concise, it's direct, and it's specific.
Don't be like the Pharisees. Don't pray God a term paper. Pray in one sentence, "Lord, that I might receive my sight. Lord, this is what I need you to do for me in my life this week. This is what I need, Lord." And as you're praying that, allow the Lord to speak to your heart.
And then notice the third point. I gave you 2 points earlier. God desires to answer your prayer. Our prayers need to line up with the will of God. But notice verse 43, "And immediately he received his sight and followed him, glorifying God. And all the people, when they saw it, gave praise unto God."
Your prayers, your request unto God, have their ultimate purpose. The answer to prayer in your life is to ultimately glorify God. Not self. So that's how I know that these name it, claim it guys you can see on TV that are asking God to pray them $1 million, that is not a legitimate prayer to make before God. Now, I can certainly get on my knees and ask God to help me pay the bills, to provide for me, to give me sustenance.
And I'm going to give him all the glory. Thank you, Lord, for the health and the job. Thank you for the provision. But it's to glorify God. Glorify thou me. And it's as simple as that. Now, I'm going to give you 4 points, and then I'm going to tell you about your salvation.
Just want to share this with you. I'm sitting on the front porch with my notebook and with my Bible. And I'm preaching to a congregation of hummingbirds. They're good training. Because they don't sit still. Sometimes that happens in here. Sometimes Sam will say, "You didn't notice that person getting up, moving, and this going on?" I'll say, "No, Sandra, because I practice preaching to hummingbirds. So I don't notice when all that distraction is going on." Number one, answered prayer in your life is needed. All right, would you say that with me? Answered prayer in my life is needed. I need God to answer my prayers. Would you say that? I need God to answer my prayers. Man, that's awesome. Say it again. I need God to answer my prayers. Answered prayer should be an expected reality. Answered prayer should be an expected. We'll not be shocked when God answers our prayer. I can remember the first sermon I ever preached. A real one on a Sunday morning in Charleston, South Carolina. May 6th or 7th. It was either on our anniversary or the day before or after. In my home church, on a Sunday morning revival service, Glenn and Chrissy Ziegler went with me. Glenn played the guitar, Chrissy sang. They did the song, "Jesus Never Fails." We prayed the whole week before we went. God would save folks. I did a sermon called "Jesus Is Passing By" 33 years ago. I remember the text, the sermon. First time ever. I'm preaching in my home church in Charleston, South Carolina. 300 or so folks. "Jesus never fails." We pray for folks be saved. When the sermon was over, Shelby Weeks, who married me and Patty, who was the pastor at that time, called me up and had me stand with him during the invitation. The invitation went an hour and a half. And I'll never forget, 14 people got saved. To the glory of God. I'm not telling you because that dummy that was 24-year-old that didn't know what he was doing was preaching. But the amazing thing, we get in the car to drive back to Walterboro, and Chrissy, the little angel she was a school librarian, I'm sure she's retired now. Chrissy sat in the back and she goes, "We got to ask God to forgive us." And I stop the car and I say, "What, Chrissy?" She goes, "You know, we prayed all week people were going to get saved. And when that invitation kept going, I was in shock. So I want to ask God to forgive me for not expecting Him to do what we asked Him to do." Isn't that our testimony so many times? God will answer our prayer and we have shocked. Nobody's ever going to get saved. That is not a good witness. Alright? To take somebody by the hand and say, "Let's pray for a healing for your child," or somebody that's lost maybe, somebody you work with, and then when it happens, we act surprised. No, we say, "Hey, my God is good. My God is good. My God is good." And we want to have answered prayer needs to be an expected reality in the life of a Christian.
Don't you love those kind of people? I've known those kind of people in my life. Some of them I'm related to. A lot of them are older saints. I'd say something to them, they'd say, "Leo, I'm going to pray about it. Let's pray about it." Right? We pray, and then they'd look you down the eye and say, "It's taken care of. God's heard us."
Man, we've got to get on top of these circumstances with a fervency and expectancy in our prayer.
God says, "Say to the mountain, move. Let's start expecting the mountain to move." And to do our part, as the mountain moves, "Lord, that I might receive my sight." I'll give you 3 points. The third point is this: answered prayer. Answered prayer is the greatest motivation to a regular prayer life.
You know why I'm going to get up tomorrow morning to pray? Because I got yesterday morning and prayed, and look what God did.
When you allow God to start answering your prayers, when you get serious about it, you're going to see a situation pop up, and you're going to say, "I can't wait to get home to pray about it." Or you're going to say, "I'm going to pray about it right now. I'm going to go get in my car in the parking lot and pray about it." But answered prayer is what motivates prayer warriors. What grows your prayer life.
That hit me like a ton of bricks this week. Because I've been wrestling with folks. Little Tracy Shinnick, who's, you know, her husband's the football coach, and they're good buddies of mine. And Tracy emailed me about this 6-week course she's got that we're linking you to off our website. And she goes, "But Leo, what breaks my heart is people won't commit to the Lord 6 weeks to do this 30 minutes a day." And I emailed Tracy back, and I said, "Oh, Tracy, that's been my heartbreak my whole time in ministry. People won't commit to the Lord 15 minutes to breathe a prayer out to Him on a daily basis. We'd rather do anything than pray.
And the devil would rather you do anything than pray. Devil wants you to be a biblical scholar. Do you know that? Oh, I don't believe that. I believe it.
Devil wants you to know the doctrine.
Devil wants you to know Genesis to Revelation.
But the devil does not want you on your knees, broken and open before Jesus, with your heart pouring up to Him and His heart pouring down to you, because therein lies the power.
Say, "Brother Leo, I want to walk with God the way you're walking with." Well, I'm not the best, but I'll tell you this. I have a lot of hummingbird prayer meetings. And then if the frost comes in, I have a lot of prayer meetings out in the woods. And then I have a lot of prayer meetings. As Patty leaves to go out and off in school, I'll spread my books out. I put praise, worship, music on. I get down there on the floor. I'm writing. I'm praying. I'm writing. I'm praying. I'm meeting with Jesus. And if I didn't do that, I'd be a far worse person than the bad person you know that I am today, with the weaknesses that I have in my life. I want to show you something about your salvation. And I'm going to cut to the chase because I want to close this message with something. I want to show you how you got saved. Go with me to Luke chapter 11. Luke chapter 11, verse 9. I say unto you, ask, and it shall be given you. Seek, and you shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asks receives, and he that seeks finds, and to him that knocks it shall be opened. If a son asks for bread, any good father, is he going to give him a stone? Or if he asks a fish, is he going to give him a serpent? Or if you ask for an egg, are you going to get a scorpion? If you then, being evil and imperfect, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask Him?
Remember what I've been telling you? You've got to be born again. You've got to be indwelt by the Spirit. You've got to be washed by the blood. You don't want to kill a conversation with somebody that's choking on a camel and trying to swallow a fly when it comes to biblical topics? Ask them about that. You'll insult them. You'll insult them. They don't want to talk to you about receiving the Holy Spirit. How do you get saved? For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. You have to ask God to save you. You've got to ask God to receive the Spirit. That's Romans 10:13, what I just quoted. You've got, what did Jesus tell the woman of the well? If you knew, well, go there. John chapter 4, go there.
And if it's not in John chapter 4, it's in John chapter 6, but I think it's in 4. So go there. I know where it is on the page. You do, right?
Yeah, I know it's in John. It's right here on this part of the page. You know your Bible that way? Yes, I do. That's why it's falling apart and it's got duct tape on it. And I don't want another one because it'll be different on the page.
This is my third Bible in 33 years. My third pulpit Bible in 33 years. It's a major adjustment if I have to get a new one. John chapter 4, let's see, verse 10. If thou knew the gift of God and who it is that said to thee, give me to drink, you would have asked of him and he would have given you living water.
Ask! You gotta ask. Say, Bro Leo, I don't remember asking. Well, have you been saved? Well, I was confirmed. I was baptized. I joined the church. I've been in church since I was a baby. So have the Pharisees. But guess what? They crucified the Lord. You gotta come to a place where you ask Jesus to save you. Lord, I need your Holy Spirit to come down and indwell me. I need the living water to give me eternal life. If you've never done that, meet with me this week, please. Let's discuss this. Let me show you other scriptures.
Let me show you something. We've got these parameters we have established, right?
My goal is to pray for God's will and to pray for something that God desires for me.
Correct? Go with me to Ephesians. Go with me to Ephesians. Now, I want to give you one more point on the Holy Spirit before I close with 2 points here in a moment. Go with me. Ephesians chapter 5. And I'm going to share with you 18, verse 18b. In Ephesians chapter 5, verse 18, he says, be not drunk with wine. What he's saying there is don't come under the
influence of an outside source. Don't let alcohol take over your mind and your heart and your emotions.
But I've got something I want to take over your mind, your heart, and your emotions. But be ye filled with the Spirit, which will result in you having a joyful and a thankful heart. So be ye filled with the Spirit. I want to ask you 3 questions and I want you to answer. Yes or no? Be ye filled with the Spirit. Is being filled with the Spirit God's will for you? Yes. All right. Is being filled, remember in Matthew 7, the Lord says, I'll give you the good things that you need. All right. Ask and you shall receive the good thing. Is being filled with the Holy Spirit a good thing? All right. And number 3, is being filled with the Holy Spirit God's desire for you? All right. Go to John 7. Go to John 7. Brother Will, I don't know how to be filled with the Spirit. I've never been filled with the Spirit. I don't know what you're talking about being filled with the Spirit. Well, in John 7, it says,
we already saw in John 4, how do you receive the Spirit? You've got to ask Him for it. In John 7, you're going to say, how do I get filled with the Spirit? You've got to ask Him for it.
Now, look at what the Scripture says. John chapter 7, 37, in the last day of the feast, Jesus stands up and says, if any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. And he that believes on me, as the Scripture says, out of his belly there shall be an outflow of the living water. And he's speaking this about the Spirit. What is an outflow of the living water? That means you get so filled up, it flows out.
I would love to do a survey of Baptists, Methodists, Catholics, Presbyterians. I mean, I can name every religion in America and ask them. Have you ever asked God to fill you with His Spirit?
Yeah. That's all I want to ask.
We'll do a survey here. I've got cards on your way out.
I want you to write down your name, your cell phone, and answer yes or no, and you're going to get a call from Brother Lee. Have you ever asked the Lord to fill you with the Spirit? See, this is my great advantage. I am not foolish enough to ever ask to come in this pulpit without first asking, Lord, fill me with the Spirit.
I start praying that on Saturday night, Sunday morning. My daddy is praying that for me in Charleston. My mama used to pray that for me. My wife prays that. Daddy will text me every morning. I'm praying for the Spirit of God to be on you this morning, praying for y'all, sir. I have those in my circle and myself. I am praying to be filled. I'm asking the source. Come unto me. What's he saying? I'm the fountain. I'll fill you with the living water.
You need to make a decision about a job, you better be filled with the Spirit. A relationship? You want to know how to pray for your loved one? Lord Jesus, please fill me with your Spirit. So when I get the answer, my friend, we've got to get this concept of asking and receiving.
All right, we've got to get this down. We have got to get this down.
I want to close today with two things to ask for in every situation, every trial, and every storm. And we're going back to our friend in Luke 18. This is going to be number one. I've been there. You've been there. You get that phone call. Find yourself on your face before God. Sometimes it lasts 20 minutes. Sometimes it lasts 20 months. Sometimes it lasts 20 years. But in Luke chapter 18, in verse 41, Jesus says, "What will that I should do unto you?" And he says that to the blind man. And the blind man says, "Lord, that I might receive my sight." Number one, in any situation, trial, storm, or anything that you're praying for, ask God to change the circumstances. If you're praying for a loved one that's lost, ask God to save them. If you're praying and you got a disease, ask God to heal you. When you're asking God to change the circumstances, you're showing God you believe in His power. You're showing God you believe in His miracles. You're showing God you're dependent on Him. God will honor the child of God that's seeking Him and His power. So ask God to change the circumstances. What happens, Brother Leo, when the circumstances don't change? Well, we got an example of that. Go with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 12. Doesn't mean the circumstances are never going to change, but as you're going through this and they're not changing, let me show you the situation. 2 Corinthians chapter 12, Paul, now, if Jesus was going to heal anybody in the New Testament church,
Because they were a faithful person that had allowed the Holy Spirit to change their life and walked in obedience, it would have been Paul.
It would have been Paul. So notice what happens in 2 Corinthians 12, verse 8. Paul says, for this thing, now we believe as we read other letters that he had a disease of the eyes, possibly. A physical disease of the eyes that would cause his eyes to run. And he said it was hard at times for people to look at him. But he says, for this physical thing that was in my flesh, see in verse 7, it's a thorn in the flesh, some physical impairment. For this thing I besought the Lord that it might depart from me. Three times he prayed for healing. And God did not change the circumstance. But notice what happened, and this will lay the foundation for the second thing you need to pray for. Verse 9, the Lord said unto me, though, my grace is sufficient for you, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmity and sickness, in reproaches and roadblocks and needs and persecutions, in distress, when I'm doing it for the sake of Christ, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Verse 7. And lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the spiritual revelations I got from God, there was given me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure.
Number one, when you run into a situation, you need to pray for God's power to change the circumstance. Number two, you need to pray for God's power to change you. You say, what do you mean, Brother Leo? Well, look at Paul. Four things Paul gleaned. Four things Paul gained in his life as a result of God not changing the circumstances. Number one, Paul gained a new perspective.
Say, Brother Leo, what do you mean Paul gained a new perspective? Well, look at verse 9. He gained a new perspective. Most gladly, I will glory in my infirmities. That wasn't the perspective he had at the beginning. And a lot of times that's not my perspective. But he gained a new perspective. Number two, he gained a new understanding. The understanding was God's grace is enough. His strength will be upon me in my weakness. And he will always take care of me.
So he gained a new perspective. He gained an understanding about how you get the strength of God working in your life. Number three, he gained a new experience of receiving the strength of God in that weakened state. You know, it's easy to get up here and preach when your life's going 100% great, when you got perfect health, when your family looks like some picture in a Norman Rockwell postcard. That's easy. You can get up here and just praise God and tell everybody what's wrong with them. But the amazing thing is when God carries you into that pulpit every Sunday, year after year, where inside you're crumbling. And you know the power of God in times of your weakness.
Three things he gained. He gained perspective, understanding, spiritual strength. But look at the fourth one, and this is wonderful. Verse 7, and lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelations, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure.
You know what he gained by God not changing those circumstances? You know what he gained by God not healing it? You know what he gained by walking into a church on a Sunday morning and there was stuff running out of his eyes and people didn't even want to look at him? You know what he gained? He gained humility. Lest I should be exalted. God let me have this problem so it would keep me humble. And we know that God can only bless a humble heart. God can't bless a prideful heart. God can't bless a self-exalted heart. God can't bless somebody who thinks they got all the answers because they got these revelations on the backside of the desert. So Paul is saying, Lord Jesus, I want you to change the circumstances, but if you don't change the circumstances, change my own life by allowing me to gain things I have not previously possessed. So my friend, I don't know what you're going through, but I want to tell you to ask for two things. Ask God to change the circumstances. You pour your heart out to Him, you believe in His power. And then secondly, I want you to ask God, change my life for the better as I go through this. Help me gain perspective, understanding, spiritual strength, humility, whatever it is. Help me gain the things I need to gain to make my relationships better, to make my service to you better, to make me a better, more godly person. And I want you to start out praying for both of these things equally. And then see where God leads you. See where God leads you. God may bring the two together. He may take one over here. He may take another one here. But ask. Ask, ask, ask. And I guarantee you, based on the promises of God, you will receive the good things that He knows are best for you. But just ask. Ask for the healing. Ask for the deliverance. And ask to gain what it is God's trying to bring into your life. I'm going to ask you to bow your head and close your eyes. In the quietness of this moment, I asked you this question last week. I'm going to ask it again this week. Would you say this? Would you say, Lord Jesus, I want to ask you to do this. Maybe something about your life, about the life of a loved one, might be a circumstance. But I'm going to ask you to honestly ask God for something right now. With heads bowed and eyes closed, I want you to ask God right now to do something in a specific situation in your life. Maybe the same thing you just asked for, it may be something else. You may have asked God to do something in your life. Ask God to do something in someone else's life. And as we close today, I'm going to ask you to ask God to convict your heart to spend this week asking and seeking and knocking in this area of your life to receive an answer. Not that you need to do anything. You may, but probably not. You just need some perspective, some understanding, some of His power. Maybe humility, maybe other things to work in the situation that you're asking God about right now.